Okay, we're starting from Lamed Amud Bet in the middle. Bo Bayom. Okay, we're at the two dots. Bo Bayom, right in the middle, a little closer to the top of the daf. Bo Bayom Darash Rabbi Akiva. So if you remember, now we're back to there was the Alafim and the Alpayim Amma. Remember, there was 1,000 Amma outside the city of the Levi'im, and then 2,000 Amma also outside the city. It wasn't clear if it was outside the city of the Levi'im or outside the outer area of the 1,000. Right? We said, how could it be that there's 1,000 outside and there's 2,000 outside? So they said, first there was 1,000 outside for the Migrash, and then there was another 2,000, which again wasn't clear whether it included the first 1,000 or not. We're on Lamed Amud Bet in the middle. And the issue was, does it include the... there was an additional 2,000, and that was one opinion. And then Rabbi Akiva said, I'm trying to remember the two opinions. Right, he said, right. One opinion was Rabbi Elazar ben Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Lili. That's what we said. There was Elef Amah Migrash, and Alpay Amah was Sadot Ukramim. But Rabbi Akiva said, no, Elef was the Migrash. And the Alpayim doesn't have to do with this issue. It's a remez for Tchum Shabbat. And then we said this when we learned the Mishnah, which is, B'mai Kami Miflage, Mar Sabar Tchum and Deoraita, Umar Sabar Derabanan. Now Rabbi Akiva holds Tchum Shabbat is Deoraita, and this is the source for it. And Rabbi Lezer, the son of Rabbi Yosef Lili, said, it's not Tchum Shabbat. There's no remez L'Tchum Shabbat Me'at Torah. Because Tchum Shabbat's only Midrabanan, and this Alpayim Amah is for something else, for the Sadot and the Kramim of the Levi. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Bo Bayom, then we have this drasha about how Bnei Israel said Shira Layam. Okay, there were two opinions given in the Mishnah. Right, one opinion was that they were answered Shira after Moshe, meaning they had a pizmon every time they said Ashira Lashem. Right? Higa Oga'ar, although we'll see, it's really Ashira Lashem. And then there was another opinion that was that they did it Kikorina Tashma, Veloka Korina Tahalel. Okay, today we're going to see there's actually three opinions. Okay, in the Mishnah there were only two, here we're going to see three. Tana Rabbanan. Here's a Braita that's very similar, but like I said, adds another opinion. Bo Bayom Darash Rabbi Akiva, B'sha'ash Alu Yisrael Min Hayam, Natnu Enehem Lomar Shira, V'Ketzad Amu Shira. Kigadol ha-mekareat ha-alel v'hein onim acharav rashei prakim. Okay, here it's a little more specific, right? They answer the beginning of the parak. Here we're going to see how. Moshe amar ashira la-Hashem v'hein umrim ashira la-Hashem. Moshe amar kiga'o ga'ah v'hein umrim ashira la-Hashem. Okay, here we see that the pizmon was not the way it appeared in parentheses in the Mishnah, but it was just the words ashira la-Hashem. Rabbi Lezer ben Osher Rabbi Yossi Aglili omer, kekatan ha-mekareat ha-alel, v'hein onim acharav kol ma shehu amar, omer. How does this work? Moshe amar ashira la-Hashem, v'hein umrim ashira la-Hashem. Moshe amar kiga oga'a, v'hein umrim kiga oga'a. The whole thing they recite, they repeat what Moshe said. Recitation. Rabbi Nechemya omer, kisofer ha-pores al-shma v'beit ha-kneset. Okay, it's more like they did what they called in the Mishnah haporeis al hashma. We're going to see exactly what this is right now. Shehu potech tchila v'hein onim acharav. He would start, and then they would recite the rest together with him, not responsively, okay? But everyone together. It's just he would start it, and then they would continue, okay? B'mai kamiflige. Rabbi Akiva Savar. Okay, now you have to remember the pasuk, which you should remember, right? What does it say? Azir Shem Moshe Ben Israel Tashira Azel Lashem Vayomru Lemor. So now we're going to darshan either the word Lemor or the word Vayomru. Okay, why does it have to say that they said to say? Right? So Rabbi Akiva says Lemor means, what did they say? Amilta Kamaita. On the first thing, Vayomru Lemor, the Ashira Lashem, the first words that were said. Rabbi Lezer ben Osher Rabbi Yosef Aglili Savar Lemor Akol Milta Umilta. When it says Lemor, that they repeat, you know, it sounds like they repeated something that was said. They repeated every single thing. For Rabbi Nechemya Savar Vayomru, he darshens the word Vayomru rather than the Lemor, and they said, what does that mean? De Amar Kulu Bahade Hadade Lemor. And then why does it say Lemor? In other words, what Vayomru means, they all said it together. Vayomru sounds like, right? They all said it together, meaning even together with Moshe. And the Lemor, why does it say Lemor? Right? They said it to say, right? Almost like he said. So what did we learn from here? Depatach Moshe Bereisha. In other words, Moshe started them off, and then they all said the rest together. The obvious problem with that approach is, how did they know the words? Right? In other words, according to this, it's almost like somehow they magically knew the words to sing. Okay? Otherwise, it makes more sense in terms of...
What's the
naftamina? There's no naftamina.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think there's any naftamina here. Tana Rabbanan. Darash Rabbi Yo, I mean, it's a good question. Why are they having a discussion about this? It could be that they want to give you examples of, you know, there's different ways to recite things, right? There's HaParesat Shema, which is done one way. There's Hallel, which is done another way. In other words, they're trying to maybe connect each of those events back, you know, the way we do things now, or in those days, right, back to the way things were done some other point, maybe somehow.
Or
not sure exactly.
But it's called Bayom. It tests you with the style of learning, like that more open atmosphere where people are doing it together.
So you're saying the Bo Bayom, so that would be Rabbi Akiva Darshan Bo Bayom about that it was, they had a refrain.
Right.
You're saying that would be
like
connected to everyone doing something together. Right, you could, what you're suggesting is maybe that all these drashot came up Bo Bayom, and there was a discussion in the Beit Midrash on that day. I like that idea. In other words, they're trying to say, whether you do it this way, or whether you do it that way, or whether you do it that way, these are all ways that everybody does things together.
They're showing examples of what legitimate
exactly,
ways.
Of legitimate ways to all be together.
I can also establish Shita Shema or Shita Halel.
Right, I don't know when they were established and who decided that this is the way we'll do them and why they distinguish between Shema and Hallel and why Hallel was done one way and Shema was done another way. But I like that idea, Tana, about that these are all discussions that were going on that day about how to involve the people. Do we follow? I like that. Do we follow, you know, we take the lead of someone and we do our own thing within it, right? We do, like, not the same way he does it because he's the leader and we do it a little bit differently. Or do we do exactly as the leader does? Or do we go together with the leader, right? He starts us off, but then we kind of go in with it together. I like that concept. It's all about leadership and how we follow the leader and how all the masses are involved. Good insight. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Darash Rabbi Yossi Aglili. B'sha'a shalu Yisrael min hayam natnu enehem lomar shira. B'keitzad amru shira. Now we're going to say, so once they went into the yam and they wanted to say shira, how did they do it? Okay, it's not going to be exactly how, but who did it mostly. Olam mutala berkeimo, v'tinok yonet mishadeimo, kevan shavuot hashchina, olal higbiat savaro, v'tinok shamat ad mipiv. Okay, now they're saying, right, even the babies who were nursing, right, the little kids on their mom's lap got up to say Shira. The ones who were nursing stopped nursing and started to sing Shira. I'm trying to say this aspect of, right, everybody joined in, even the littlest baby. Vamru ze eli vavev. Another thing, what they're trying to show here again, this connects with the miracle, right? The miracle theme that we're talking about in Sota. They saw this miraculous miracle, and it was so amazing that even the babies understood what was going on. Shneamar, how do we know this? Mipi olalim v'yonkim yisadeta oz. Okay, we're going to now quote some sukkim from Tehillim. Okay, oz they're saying is the shira. Okay, and aziv azimrakya from the shirat hayam that comes from there. So from the mouths of the olalim, the little ones, and the yonkim, the ones who were nursing, yisadeta oz. Haya Rabbi Meir Omer. Minayin sha'afilu ubarim shebimei imo amru shira. Okay, now we get even more extreme. Even the fetuses, okay, said Shira. How do we know this? Shenamar b'makelot baruchu Elohim, Hashem mimakor Yisrael. Another pasuk from Tehillim, which I say is referencing this event. What's b'makelot? Rashi says, kishenikalu al hayam, when they were together on the water, at Yam Suf. And what's the makor? Right? Mimakor Yisrael. What's makor? From the rechem, right? From the womb. Okay, so they did it even in the womb. So now, you see this is in parentheses. It's not clear whether you read this or not, but we'll read it. Okay, there's different opinions. V'halo chazu, but what do you mean? How could they have seen, right? Now there's, zeh livaveu means I see God, right? Amar bitan chum, keres naselem ka aspaklaria ha-meira v'ra'u. Okay, the mothers, right? They could kind of see through the womb. It became like a see-through, right? Where else do we see this image? Aspaklaria mira, right? That's how Moshe differs from all the other Nevi'im, that he saw God and through this aspaklaria mi'ira, that he could actually see God as opposed to everybody else who couldn't. Okay, so there you have a possible, I don't know if that's really in the text or not, but anyway, it's an interesting theory. Okay, Bo Bayom Darash Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hyrcanus. Right, clearly this is the just to go back to this, right, what do you mean fetuses are saying Shira? There, it's the Gemara uses exaggeration to prove a point, right? How much everybody was involved. So they take it to an extreme to kind of illustrate how amazing the miracle was. That it was so noticeable. You could even see it if you were inside your mother's womb. Okay, even if you couldn't really, but they're trying to make a point. Bo Bayom Tarash Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hyrcanus. Okay, the last Mishnah, the last part of the Mishnah was about Iyov. Was he Oved Hashem me'ahava or me'yira? Shelo avad Iyov, right? So he said that he learned from he worshipped God me'ahava. And if you remember, there was a they said again that oh, too bad that right. I would have taken the dust out of the dirt out of or the dust out of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's eyes because he thought he was always Doresh Shelo avad Iyov etamakom ela me'yira because it says. Ish tam v'yashar yirei Elohim. Okay, so there was a question, did Iyov worship me'ahava or me'yira? So, the lechseh, okay, so what was the pasuk based on? Okay, go back again to the drasha. It was based on this pasuk, hein yiktileni, if he were to kill me, lo ayachel. Okay, lo with a vav. Okay, meaning, if he were to kill me, okay, even if he were to kill me, toward him, I would be ayachel, I would
yearn.
I would yearn, okay? Now, we had a whole question. What was the question here?
Mm-hmm.
It's not clear whether lo is lo with an aleph or lo with a vav. Even though we suggested that even if you kept it lo with a vav, you could say lo ayachel, right? If he were to kill me, would I still yearn for him? Okay, but the Gemara we're going to see is going to go with the approach of is it lo with an aleph or lo with a vav? Okay, which seems to be very strange, and that's what the Gemara is going to say. What do you mean? It's low with a vav. There's a difference between low with a vav and low with an aleph. Low with a vav means to him, right? And low with a vav means not. So, that's what the Gemara is going to ask. But let's say high low. Why don't we look at the word? Low. E bilamit aleph tiv. Then it would be lohu, right? If it's written with the words, with the letters lamit aleph, then it would be no. And e bilamit vav ktiv, then it would be lohu, right? So then they say, V'chol hecha dichtiv belamet aleph lohu. And is it true though that every single time it says lamet aleph, it's always no? And lame'ata, here's a pasuk where we see the words lamet aleph, and the meaning is lamet vav, okay, lo, to him. Where do we see this? B'chol tzaratam lo tzar. Okay, this is talking about when the Jews are in trouble. What's God's reaction, right? Is he sad about it? So lo tzar, it says it with an aleph, which the Peshat would say, he's not unhappy, right? He doesn't have any sort of pain when we're in pain, when we're struggling. So there, we see dechtib belamet aleph, hachanami delohu. Do you want to say there it really means lo? In other words, the premise of the Gemara was, let's see if it's lo with an aleph or lo with a vav, and then it'll be clear. So then they say, just because you think if that's the case, here's a pasuk that says lamed aleph, and it doesn't mean no. It doesn't mean God isn't unhappy. How do we know that? Because v'chitema hachanami, if you want to say that there it means that when we're in trouble, God is not unhappy. V'haktiv umalach panav hoshiam. Okay, this is Right. This is the continuation of that pasuk. Okay, it says Bechol Tzaratam, if you look in the Torah or it's Yishayahu Samach Gimel Tet, Bechol Tzaratam, here by the way, it says, right, this is a kriyuchtiv. Okay, I didn't spend the time looking it up inside. Obviously I should have, because there's a kriyuchtiv, whether it's written low or right, or whether it's written this way or that way. Tsar, okay, lo tsar, umalach panav hoshiam ba'avato uvechem lato. Huga'alam, right? In other words, the malach is going to take them because he's tsar, right? He's going to send the malach to basically save them. So it seems clear that God is unhappy. Ela, so what do we learn from here? Mashmahachi u mashmahachi. In other words, it could be low and lower, sometimes interchangeable. Tanya, Rabbi Meir Omer, Ne'emar, now we're going to get to this issue about the Yirei Elohim. Okay, because if you remember, the person, right, Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai had always darshan that he was Yirei Elohim. He loved God, he worshipped God out of fear, not out of love. So how could that be? So, you know, where does he get it from? This pasuk of Yirei Elohim. So now we're going to see how would Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hyrcanus darshin Yirei Elohim. If he thinks he was Oveda Hashem Me'ava, so where does he, what does he do with that pasuk Yirei Elohim? So now we're going to see a drasha about that. We will explain his opinion. Tanya Rabbi Meir Omer, Ne'emar Yirei Elohim be'Iyov, Ne'emar Yirei Elohim be'Avraham. My Yirei Elohim ha'mor be'Avraham me'ava, at Yirei Elohim ha'mor be'Iyov me'ava. Here we make this comparison to Iyov and Avraham. Okay, where there's a lot of comparisons, by the way. Even according to the Midrash, there's the famous, right, how the Satan meets him on the way, you know, with, and the Satan appears by Iyov also. There's these connections. Anyway, you see by Avraham, he's Yirei Elohim. And we know that Avraham was Oved Hashem Me'ava. How do we know that? Avraham gufe minala. In other words, first they're saying, clearly Avraham was Oved Hashem Me'ava. So if he was Oved Hashem Me'ava, and he was also called Yirei Elohim, so that means that the Yirei Elohim there means Me'ava, and therefore when it says it by Iyov, it also means Me'ava. How do we know Avraham gufe minala? How do we know that he worshipped Hashem Me'ava? Dichtiv zera Avraham ohavi. Avraham who loves me, right? He's called, it's called the Zera Avraham of the Avraham who loved me. Okay, this is also a pasuk in Yeshayah. Ma'i kabein oseme avalo semi ira. So what's the difference? Whether you say you worship God out of love, you worship him out of fear. Hadetanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, gadol haoseme ava yoter min haoseme ira. Okay, obviously both are great. You worship Hashem, whether you worship him out of fear or you worship him out of love. They're both great ways to worship Hashem. Okay, but you're greater if you do it out of love. How do we know? Shezet taloy la'elef dor, v'zet taloy la'alafim dor. Okay, one who worships out of fear only gets rewards for only 1,000 generations. Okay, as if that's not enough. But the one who worships out of love gets to, for 2,000 generations. How do we know this? Dichtiv la'alafim lo'avai u'lishomrei mitzvotai. Okay, alafim means thousands, which is going to be two. V'hatam k'tiv u'lishomrei mitzvotav le'elef dor. Those who do his mitzvot, which the assumption is you do his mitzvot out of fear, they'll do it, they get it, le'elef dor. Okay? second. Okay. So now they say, Hatam nami k'tiv, but wait, you didn't quote the whole pasuk u'lishomrei mitzvotav le'elef dor. What does it say there? Le'ohavav u'lishomrei mitzvotav le'elef dor, which would imply what? That the ohavav also only get for 1,000 generations. So what do they say? If you notice, both pasukim say le'ohavav u'lishomrei mitzvotai. Right? So what do they say? Look at the order of the pasuk. The first pasuk says la'alafim le'ohavav u'lishomrei mitzvotai, and the second pasuk says Lo avayu l'shamrei mitzvotai le'elef dor. So what do they answer? Hai l'desamech v'hai l'desamech le. In other words, each one, the word lo avayu is samuch to the word la'alafim, and the shamrei mitzvotai is samuch to the le'elef dor, right? One appears in the first part, and one appears in the second part. Lo avayu l'shamrei mitzvotai is always in the same order. But the alafim comes before, next to the shamrei mitzvotai, next to the ohavai, and the Elef Dor comes samuch to the word Shomrei Mitzvotai. So therefore, each one goes by the one that it's closest to. Okay? And therefore, you see that that's the way it works. Now we're going to have a story about this. Hanu trei tamidei dehavu yativ kamei de Rava. Chana marle ikuyum b'chalmai. Okay, one says to Rava, I saw in a dream, ma rav tufcha asher tzafanta l're'echa. Okay, someone read to me in a dream the pasuk, how great is the tov that is hidden for the Yireim of Hashem? Okay? V'chan amar le, ekrayam b'chalme, v'yismichu b'cha, v'yismichu kol chosei bach. Okay? And they will be happy, all those who has the translation said? Chosim? What? Like who yearn for you, who beseech? What?
Take refuge
in you? Okay. And there at the end of the pasuk it says, okay, here you really need the end of the pasuk. Okay, there it seems clear it's those who love you. Okay, so he heard a pasuk about those who love God. Oh, sorry, it says it here. I just didn't realize. Okay. Lolam yiranenu v'yaltzu b'cha ohavei shmecha. Amar lehu, travaychu rabanan tzadike gemurei atun. You're both tzadikim gemurim because you heard these psukim, right? One about the yireim, one about the ohavim. Mar me'ahava, mar me'ira, right? Clearly you worship God out of love, and clearly you worship God out of fear. This is interesting, by the way. Why are they saying this came to them in a dream? It's just occurring to me now. It's probably not so easy to distinguish, right, whether really what your intents are, even if you know yourself, right, to really think about, is it coming from a fear perspective? Is it coming from a love perspective? Like, where the line is not super clear. And what the dream was kind of telling them, really, what's at the root of your relationship is love, and what's at the root of yours is fear. In other words, it's not something that you can always, it's tangible, that you can really figure out. And that's why maybe they saw it in a dream, because, you know, obviously the concept here is that God knows where your, you know, what the real root is. And maybe that's why it comes in a dream form, because it's not so clear to them otherwise. You know, if you try to think about where do I stand and what's it coming from, it's not always so clear to figure out. Okay, Hashran Alach Kashem Shamayim, new perek, okay? If you look ahead for a second, you'll see that the perek is one daf long, okay? Short perek.
Very unusual.
Yes, very unusual. I don't think we've had any like this so far. Okay.
Extra important.
Is it what?
Does it make it extra important or something?
Extra important? I don't think so. Just happens to be short. Okay. Mishakid, just not a lot of Gemara on the Mishnayot, and I guess not a lot of Mishnayot either. I mean, it's a long Mishnah, but not for a parak, right? It's not, you know, but there wasn't much to say. Part of it is also some of the stuff we've already related to. We'll see. We're going to immediately reference something we learned on the first daf, the very first machloket in the Masechet. I'll just reference it already so that you remember. Okay, if you look at the chart, the second part of the first chart says Sota Daf Ben Amud Aleph. If you remember, we had a machloket in the beginning about Hamekanele Ishto. We'll read it inside. Rabbi Lezer Omer Mekanele Al Pishnaim. Right, the kinoy has to be done with two witnesses. Umashke Al Pi Edachad or Al Pi Atzmo. Right, just to remember. Okay, just let's go back for one quick second. The process of the sota is there's kinoy. He warns her, you can't go alone with this man. Then the assumption is he does it in front of witnesses. According to Rabbi Lezer, he has to do it in front of two witnesses. He has to say, I'm warning you. Remember, we saw there was a three-way machloket. Rabbi Yoshua says, already we're on the kinoy, we'll skip to Rabbi Yoshua. He says, Mekanei la'alpi shnayim, also shnayim. Okay, even though we saw another opinion in the Gemara that it could be even one, and it could be even himself. Possibly according to someone, but right now, the kinoy, according to both the opinions we saw, is al pishnaim. Then, if she goes into the room alone with the man that she was warned not to go into the room alone with, then again, there's witnesses that see, so there's a machloket about that. Mikanel al pishnaim, according to Rabbi Eliezer, umashke al pi edachad or al pi atzmo. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it could be himself or even one witness. Okay? It's enough to say that one witness saw this room. Okay, the one witness saw, this is Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, al pi atzmo, al pi one witness, she went into a room. Since you already established the kinoy by two, the second part doesn't need as much to establish it as a fact on the ground. Okay, now, then, okay, what we're gonna see later, there's also the chuma aspect, okay? In other words, after the stira, that means what happens at that point? She's now forbidden to her husband. Until what point? Until she drinks the sota waters. And then either she can go back to her husband or she doesn't survive. If she doesn't drink the sota water, she ends up being forbidden to her husband forever, right? And he has to divorce her. But if witnesses came and said that we know what happened in the room, we were in the room and we saw that they have relations, then the question is, again, how many witnesses do you need to establish chuma? And if you establish chuma, what's going to be the situation? Once you establish chuma, then she can no longer drink the sota waters. Okay, and then it's going to be a question, well, what kind of testimony do you need in order not to allow her to drink the sota waters? In other words, obviously, in a regular case, what do you need? We're going to see this inside also. In order to say a woman slept with someone else, what does she get? She gets the death penalty, right? What do you need for that? Two witnesses, right? But let's say, in this case, we already had the kinoy and the stira, right? There's two types of zona cases, right, or esh et ish cases. One is where there's no warning before, there's no issue, the husband wasn't suspicious. Witnesses just happen to see her sleep with someone. That's a whole, right? That's typical esh et ish. You need two witnesses, etc. But here, since you already had two witnesses in an earlier part of the process, there was already suspicion. There was already what we call raglayim ledavar, right? She was already suspected of being with this man. It could be that the tumah, in order to be nitma'ah, right? And again, to not drink the sota waters, maybe you need, you know, you're going to need a lesser level of testimony for this. Okay, so that was Rabbi Eliezer. So you need two for the kinoy, the stira, either himself, or even right, either one aide or even himself is sufficient. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, okay, again, I'm in this part of the chart, the second line there, the third section, the last section of the first chart on the page. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, this is all the Gemara on Daf Bet, the Mishnah actually. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Mekanela al Pishnaim, Umashkel Pishnaim. Okay, Rabbi Yoshua thinks you need Shnaim all the way. Okay, like I said, there were other opinions there, but we're not going to get into them now. Okay, so now our Mishnah, there's going to be again a Machloka, Rabbi Lez, and Rabbi Yoshua. This is one of those, if you remember, they were talking cows. Remember that? We had a Mishnah about talking cows, so here we're going to have talking birds. Okay, which maybe is more, right, more real, right? You could have a parrot or something that repeats things. Okay? Mishekineli ishto v'nistira. Okay, now somebody who does the kinoy, presumably, right, this is Rabbi Lezer, so it's going to be with two witnesses, and then she goes into hiding. Now, according to the Mishnah we saw, even al piatzmo or al pi'ed echad. Here we're going to see even more so. Afilu shama me'och ha-poreach. Okay, even if a bird, a flying bird, somehow gave us evidence about this, yotzi v'yitein ketuba. Okay, he divorces her, but he has to give her the ketubah because she didn't drink the waters, and right, it's not, the och porach is enough to establish forbidden, that she's forbidden, but it's not enough to make a, right, you can't make a monetary claim that she has to, loses her ketubah money based on a bird, okay? Tiver Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, ad shiyisu v'yitnuba mozrot balivana. Okay, what does this mean? These are the women who do their spinning, their thread in the, like they would sit together by the light of the moon, and they would spin because it was dangerous to sit, you know, in the dark and without other people. So they would go in the dark by the light of the moon together with their friends. And what normally happens when the women are sitting there spinning their thread? They're talking, right? They're yapping, they're, you know. So if it gets to the point where the women who are yapping in the while they're spinning their threads, so if they're talking about it and that's our evidence for it, that something actually happened, that she went into the room alone with the man, then we can say that she's forbidden to her husband. You know, that's a good stira. But it has to be that stage. It's not enough that we just heard an of porach. Okay, which matches his opinion really, that you need two witnesses, okay? And the women talking in the shuk while they're spitting their thread is already enough to establish testimony. What if Amar Eid Echad, Ani Re'itia Shenitmet? Okay, one witness says, I saw that she was, now we're going to the tumma part. Okay, we dealt with the kino and the stira. Now what about the tumma part? If one witness comes and said, I saw that she was nitmet, lo haita shota. Okay, she can't drink the water. One witness is not enough. Velo od ela, afilu eved, afilu shivcha, hare elu ne'emanim. One second. I'm sorry. This means, sorry, I said it wrong. Eid Echad Omer Ani Re'itia Shenitmet, lo haita shota. She now is not allowed to drink the sota waters. In other words, right, usually the sota waters are drunk after the stira process. Once there's edim that come and confirm, even one witness, that she was nitma, okay, this isn't any more machloka Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yoshua, this is just the opinion of the Mishnah, that if one witness saw that she was nitma, what do we see here? Already, she can't drink the sota waters. That's enough evidence to say, we have vadai testimony that you were together with this man, enough to say, you're not allowed to drink the waters. The Lord Ella, Filu Evet, Filu Shipcha, even people that generally their testimony is not acceptable. Hare Elu Ne'emanim, Afle Poslamik Tubata. Even it's enough to say you can't get your tuba money. Okay? Because the assumption is you slept with this man, one witness is sufficient. Chamota, Ubat Chamota, okay, her mother in law, or her sister in law, right? Okay. The daughter of her mother in law.
This witness is after her
seclusion. Yeah, after the seclusion.
So why do we even need it?
Because after the seclusion, she's supposed to drink the sota waters. If there's a witness that says, we saw something actually happened in that room, then she's not allowed to drink the sota waters, because then she's not a suffix sota anymore.
I thought the seclusion was confirmed. This isn't the third stage.
No, the seclusion is the stira. That's confirmed. But we don't know what happened in that room. We know she went into the room. We don't know what happened in the room. So if we know what happened in the room, because one witness, even in Evan, even a Shifcha, even one witness, even... That's what they're talking about.
Okay.
That we saw they actually had sex in the room, then we're already going to say, you can't drink the sota waters. We know enough that you're enough of a vadai sota that we can't allow you to drink the waters. Again, it's not enough, yeah, it's not enough to convict her in court and kill her based on that, because we don't have testimony for that, but it's enough to say you cannot drink the water, and it's enough to pass on her from a ketubah. Why? Because we have all this evidence from before. And it's not just a bodeid, oh, she slept with someone, right? It had a whole, there was a whole case built up against her. Okay, so now, Ela shelo tishke, okay, but she can't drink. Now they're gonna say, we could have learned from a kavachomer, okay? We're going to basically have a possible kavachomer. We're going to reject it. Then they're going to say, based on the rejection, we're going to flip the kavachomer, but we're going to reject that also, okay?
Wait, so what's with the mother-in-law?
Oh, sorry. You're right. I stopped in the middle there. Chamota. Okay, her mother-in-law. We're bat chamota. Now, what are all these people? These are people who are suspicious of what?
Having
they have ulterior motives for the husband. Or Tsarata, the second wife who always hates her, right? The other wife of the husband who's out to get her. And Yivimta, someone who's supposed to do Yibum with the, right, or did Yibum with the second wife from Yibum to her husband. Ubat Ba'ala, the daughter of her husband. Okay, all these people are against her, basically. Hare Elu Ne'emanot, those are also Ne'emanot, okay, that she doesn't now drink the water. Aval Lola Poslamik Tubata, Ela Shalotishte. Okay? They can't actually, because they have ulterior motives, monetarily, they don't want the husband to have to pay the money, so they're not believed with the money part, but they are believed with the sota part, that we can't drink the waters. Again, you see, any way you can get out of drinking the sota waters, right? Usually you'd say these women are not believed at all. But in this case, they are. Shahaya b'din, you might have thought of kavachomer here. The what? Uma ime du rishona. Okay, what's the edu rishona? The stira. Okay, it's not the rishona mamash, the kinoi. Now we're going to the stira. We're comparing the stira to the tuma. The stira is obviously going to be more kal than the tuma. Why? Because edu rishona, the stira, she'ein osur ta'isur olam. She's only forbidden until we can prove otherwise. She might be osur isur olam, but she might not be. Because if she drinks the waters and she's innocent, then it's not isur olam. And eina mitkayemet pachot mishnayim. You might have thought to say, since the stira needs shnayim, okay, this is according to Rabbi Yoshua, then edur achrona shosar ta'isur olam, right? The edur achrona, this tumah is going to now make her forbidden to her husband forever. Eino din shalot tkayem pachot mishnayim. You might have thought that, okay? Talmud lomar, if you remember this drasha, ve'ed ein ba. Remember this, right? What does it say? That kol edut sheyeshba. In other words, this pasuk, you could read it inside. I brought it here, but Midbar Parakei. Pasuk Yugimo, v'shachavi shota shachvatzera, v'ne'elam e'nei isha v'nistera, v'hi nitma'a, v'eid ein ba, v'hi lo nitpasa. Now, what do we learn this? Hinu lo nitpasa? She wasn't raped, right? Because if she's raped, so what do they assume here? If she's raped, then she's permitted to her husband. So therefore, it means if she isn't raped, then she's forbidden, right? V'eid ein ba. It's only in the case, right? If eid ein ba, then, one second, if, so it's confusing, this eid ein ba.
So is it always refers to a set of witnesses and less explicitly?
Right, so we're going to see this inside, that eid is always eidim, right? If eidim ein ba, but that means that if there was one witness, then she would be forbidden. Okay, we're going to see this later also. So now they say, kavachomer, so if that's the case, what did we just prove? That for the tumah, you need, right, one witness is enough, right? Because it says ve'eid ein ba. Well, if eid ein ba proves that one witness is enough for the tumah, so let's make the kavachomer in the other direction, right? What did we say? We said the stira needs two. But why don't we say, if the tumah only needs one, and obviously the tumah, right, has, so here, let's see. So now, kavachomer le'judha rishona me'ata. We should learn to the stira from here. Umay me jurachrona shosar ta'isur olam harehi mitkayemet be'ed echad, right? If the ejurachrona it's more chamor and yet it has a kula, which is it's only mitkayemet afilu be'ed echad. So ejurachrona she'eno sar ta'isur olam eino din shitkayem be'ed echad. So what's the answer? Talmud lomar ki matza be'ervat davar. Ulahalan hu omer apishnayim edim yakum davar. Here we learn, now the Gemara is going to reject this, they're going to say there's some problem here, this doesn't connect, but we'll leave it right now, is the way the Mishnah sets it up. We learn from the Pasuk about, this is, when a man goes to divorce a woman, ki matza be'ervat davar, and it says, al-pishnayim edim yakum davar, so what do we learn here? That since matza be'ervat, al-pishnayim edim is obviously shnayim, so also, you need shnayim to establish ervat davar. And the assumption is the stira is ervat davar. Okay, we'll get to this later in the Gemara. They're going to reorganize this. Eid omer nitmet, ve'eid omer lo nitmet. Okay, last chart on the page. We're going to have a few situations. One witness says she was nitmet, and one witness says she wasn't nitmet. Or isha omer nitmet, v'isha omer lo nitmet. Or a woman even, right? Generally, women are unacceptable as witnesses. Let's say a woman says nitmet, v'isha omer lo nitmet. In this case, we do accept a woman's testimony. Haita shota. In those cases, what basically happens? This is what we call edut hakhasha. We don't know who to believe, so we throw them both out of court, and it's as if we have no testimony, and therefore we ignore it, right? Because what's the issue here? Generally, one witness would be enough to say nitmet. But if it's one witness versus a witness who says the opposite, he says, I was in the room and I know that nothing happened there. Okay, if that's the case, then we have no testimony whatsoever. We throw everybody out of court and she drinks the water. Echad omer nitmet, v'shnayim omerim lo nitmet. Okay, one says she's nitmet, but two say lo nitmet. Haita shota. Okay, if we have two witnesses to establish lo nitmet, then also she doesn't drink. Now this is weird because why would you need to prove this, right? If even one says lo nitmet, so that's going to be a question. Shnayim omerim nitmet, v'echad omer lo nitmet. Okay, but now the flip case. Let's say two witnesses say she was nitmet, and one says lo nitmet, lo haita shota. Okay, in this case, because we have two against one, and the two say she was nitmet, that's enough. Now, even though this is a weird thing, because we said one, if one aid works, okay, we're going to see this in the Gemara also, one aid working should count like two. And therefore, in theory, this should be like two against two. And it should fall out of court, but they say no. If two say, and we're going to see why in the Gemara, if two say nitmet and one says lo nitmet, so then she doesn't drink. We assume she was nitmet. Okay, so now we're going to start with the first question about Hai Tamud Lomar Ki Matzah Be'ervat Davar. It's very weird that it says Ki Matzah Be'ervat Davar. What should it have said? If you remember this, we learned it already. Tamud Lomar, remember, we're trying to establish, how do you know that you need two witnesses for the stira according to Rabbi Yoshua when Tumah is sufficient with one, which is more chamor because it's so sartoi sorola. So therefore, the stira should also be sufficient with only one. And they use this drasha of Ki Matzah Be'ervat Davar. It should have used a different drasha. Talmud Lomar, ba, do you remember this? Ba v'lo b'kinoi, ba v'lo b'stira. Do you remember we had, this was a whole thing where we said, what does the ba come to exclude? Okay, where is it? What's the ba? It's, it doesn't say the pasuk here, I forgot. It's the ba in, where's the pasuk? Here. No. It's in our section. Ve'ed ein ba. That's what it is. It's from the ve'ed ein ba. There's no witness ba, right? So what do they say? Ba. What is it she need two witnesses for? Because remember, the eight is two. Ba v'lo b'kinoi. Ba v'lo b'stira. Right? In other words, eight ein ba, but, right, for stira, you would need two. Okay? V'tuma ba'alma. B'lo kinoi u'b'lo stira. V'tuma ba'alma. But now, where's the Mishnah jumping? Why did it go to this Kima Tzabar Vatavar? Because it's talking about Tumah Ba'alma below Kinoi below Stira Delo Meheman Edecha Binalan. The Mishnah is really asking another question here. In other words, really, this is like a way, it's weird the Gemara doesn't say this, but it's really a Chisur Mechasra V'Hachi Katani. It's missing things. It really should have used the Drasha Ba. Bavalo Bakino and Bavalo Bastira. In other words, Edein Ba, meaning one A would have been sufficient, but not for the Kino, not for the Stira. For that, you need two. But when it comes to Tumah Ba'alma without kinoi, if a regular woman without all the background, without the kinoi, without the stira, right, somebody wants to bring her to court to say she slept with someone, to forbid her to her husband. So there, what do we say? Delomehemen enechab, where do we learn that? Minalan shneemar, davar v'neemar lahalan davar, ma lahalan b'shnei edim, av kam b'shnei edim. And that's where we get into the two, right? That's why you need the kimatzaber vat davar. Okay? For a regular case of Eshedish, you need two. But the fact that you need two here in the stira is from the Bab. Bavalo Bakino of Bavalo Bastira. Okay. We'll do a little bit more and then we'll stop a little early. We're a little before the end of the daf. Eid omer nitmet. Tama de kamachishla. Halo kamachishla eidecha meheman. Right here, what do we say? The aid isn't believed, right? If one witness says nitmeh and one says lo nitmeh, so we throw them all out of court because they contradict each other. But what's the assumption from here? That aid would be believed, right, if it was just one said nitmeh. So where do we learn that from? Minani nile. Ditana rabbanan ve'aid ein ba. Okay, so now. B'shnayim ha-katshuv medaber. The aid means two witnesses. It doesn't have two witnesses, right? But if it were to have one, that would be enough to convict her. So now what do they say? They're going to question this. Atah omer b'shnayim o'ena ela be'echad. When you say eid eimba, do you mean two or do you mean one? Talmud lamar, lo yakum eid echad b'ish. Remember this? Okay, we had this whole drasha. You can't have one witness for a person. Mimash b'shenemar lo yakum eid, eini yodeshu echad. Right? If it just said eid, we would have assumed it meant one. So why did you have to say eid echad? Right? Whenever you say something singular, it means one. So therefore, they're going to learn the opposite. Ma talmud lamar echad, ze bana av. Kol makom, this taught us for the whole Torah. It says achad here to teach you that kol makom shenemar eid harei kan shnayim ad sheferet lecha katuv echad. Okay, the amar rachmana. So anytime it says right, since we know that any witnesses in the Torah have to be two, except for unique cases, right? So anytime the Torah uses the word eid, it means edim. The amar rachmana. And what's the pasuk saying here? Trei leit ba el achad. In other words, there aren't two. There's only one. V'hilo nitpasa, and she wasn't raped. And because she wasn't raped, right, she's asura. So meaning she didn't have witnesses against her, but she did have one witness against her. And hilo nitpasa, meaning she wasn't raped, and yet she, right, there's a very confusing pasuk how they darsh in this. It was confusing when we learned it the first time also. It means, v'hilo nitpasa, meaning she wasn't raped, meaning that since she wasn't raped, she's asura labala. And eid eimba, meaning there weren't two witnesses against her, but there was one. So as soon as there's one, that's enough to basically make her asura labala. Okay? Bekeva. Okay, so now we're going to stop here. We'll get to the next thing. Okay, they're going to say, Bekeva de midoraita eid echad meheiman. Right? So if we say, this now goes to the next question. If we say then that one is enough, then ida chechi matzi machishla, right? In the case where we said once is nitmeh and once is lo nitmeh, well, if the one already said nitmeh, then it was established as two witnesses, and how could anyone actually contradict it? That's what we're going to start off with tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've established that eid echad is enough to say nitmeh because ve'eid ein ba, meaning there aren't two, but there is one, and one is enough to make her forbidden. And then, right, this is taking the pasuk out of its pshat. That's what you have to, right? It's not the pshat of the pasuk there. Okay, but they're darshaning that pasuk to say eid ein ba means there weren't two, there was one. V'hilonit pasa, she wasn't raping, she did it willingly, and if she did it willingly, then she's forbidden to her husband. That's the way they're darshaning that pasuk.
I missed something in the link. No, go ahead. No, because it's both things, the eid ein ba and v'hilonit pasa. You need both to get the whole group.
You need both what?
Both of those pieces, the eid
eimba, yeah, right. It's the togetherness of it. In other words, the eid eimba, the hilo nitpasa, right? There's no witnesses. Okay, and she wasn't raped. Okay, in other words, it's v'hi nitma'a. She is nitma'a to her husband, right? The eid eimba. The problem is that this pasuk is all about the.
Right.
When you're in this situation, you don't know, right? She was nitma'a, but you don't know what the story is, right? But what they're saying is that because it says here, v'hi nitma'a, v'eid eimba, and there weren't witnesses against her, because if there were witnesses, obviously we wouldn't have this situation, right? V'hi lo nitpasa, and she wasn't raped. Now, the assumption is, right, if she was raped, then she's not forbidden to her husband, because it wasn't her, assuming she's not married to a Kohen. But if she was raped, and as they're saying, from what it says it's not, you learn what it is, right? So therefore, if she wasn't raped, then she's forbidden to her husband, even if there weren't eidim against her. Meaning, well, how can you forbid it to her, right? There was one. One is enough to basically make her forbidden. That's what they're saying. Okay, make her forbidden, and to the extent that she can't drink the sota water anymore. Okay?
But
if you read the pshat of the psukim, it doesn't work so well. This is all a drasha on the psukim, so it's in a different realm.
Does it ever-